Flooding in Shiraz, Iran, dedicated to the two preachers, having a heart for Persian culture, having many Persian friends. I dedicate this to them and to the two preachers who brought out the recent flooding in Iran. One of them originates from Iran, and they felt that there was some sort of prophetic signature about the floodings that are happening in Shiraz, Iran. And I agree, because as I began to look at it, I began to get insight. And the following is a record of the revelation. There is a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, what goes around comes around, there is nothing new under the sun. So this behooves us to look at the ancient city of Shiraz, the fifth most populous city of Iran, in the capital city of Fars. And it has a lot of beautiful things. The earliest reference is Tiratzitz. It's an Elamite clay tablet dated 2000 BC. It's known as the city of poets and literature, wine and flowers, and so on. But it's likely more than 6,000 years old. And there's a lot of course, traditions around it. It was on the way from Susa to Persepolis and Pasargadae. Now, these are two Greek names. And this is important in this reference here. There's a tremendous amount of history around this city, one of which is significant as a rewind is the fact that the originator of Baha'i religion comes from this city, this ancient city. But even more so is the fact that it was considered the shining, Shiraz is considered a gate city. And it's one of the oldest Persian cities, besides being the cultural capital of Iran, the city of poets, the city of gardens, the city of flowers and nightingales, very beautiful. It's a regional center. It was called the Athens of Iran and became the administrative center of ancient Iran. As I said just a few minutes ago, that Persepolis and Persepolis were on the way to Shushan. If you remember, Shushan was the ancient capital of Iran, and Persepolis, which is an ancient Greek name, was the capital of the Achaemenid Empire under Cyrus the Great. And Darius also made Persepolis the capital of Iran. This is all the central section, very near Shiraz. The tomb of Cyrus the Great. And in ancient days, at the time of Cyrus the Great, it became an administrative center, and the gate of all nations was at Persepolis. On the tomb of Cyrus the Great, it says, I am Cyrus the King and Achaemenid. And it says it is Old Persian, Elamite, and Akkadian languages, which is Akkadian is the oldest Semitic language, the earliest. And Elamite was the language of conquest after Alexander the Great came a great deal of time after Cyrus the King. Now, if you'll recall, the languages, a lot of Persian was synthesized from ancient Elam, Babylon, and Assyria, ancient Egypt, and some Anatolian influences. Why? Because Iran was the ancient city of Babylon, in which Daniel was taken and Yeshushan out of exile, Daniel the prophet out of exile from Israel because of their captivity, because of rebellion. And this points to the prophetic implications of Mystery Babylon. All this was a synthesis. Cyrus the Great conquered all of this. This statute in Daniel signifies this. Babylon, the golden head, was the head of the Persians, and then the Medes, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. This is significant as an administrative center, the gate of nations, for the ancient Babylonian Empire, for the administrative center of ancient Babylon. Let me proceed to say that there are ancient spirits, as of the spirit of Persia, that still rest there. Now, this history that I just briefly passed over is considered in Daniel 8, about the ram who had two horns, and it pushed against another ram, pushing westward, northward, and southward. This was Alexander the Great, the goat. And it was broken, and then it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven, Daniel 8:8. That would be the division of the empire under Alexander into four places. So I'm just mentioning this whole prophecy here, until we get to, which has been fulfilled in part, until verse 15. He said, how long is this going to take? And he said, 2,300 days, and the sanctuary shall be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and saw for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me the appearance of man. And the man's voice between the banks of Ulai, was called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face in the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn is that between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood a fort, four kingdoms shall stand up out of this nation, but not in his power. And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are coming to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now this is the verse I want to... Now these have all been fulfilled, except for this is alluding, this is like a reflective verse of what's happening in the very final last days when transgressors are come to the full. There's an appointed time, as in Exodus with the Amalekites, that the Hebrews stayed in Egypt until the sin of the Amalekites was full. And then there was deliverance. And the vision of the evening and the morning which told us true, wherefore shut you up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And then Daniel fainted and was sick certain days after. I rose up and did the king's business and was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So here we see this is a center, all this power of Babylon, this great statue, this great mystery Babylon, heathen, is going to be broken, and there is an appointed time to it, and is signifying the breaking of the power of the prince of princes, whoever that is. But we do know there is a prince over Persia. And that he's still in the spirit realm. He's a principality that overrides that whole area and still operates. Now, I like to look at the scripture in in Daniel 8, verse 25, about who this person is, this mighty person. It could be, and is likely a type of the Antichrist. 25, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper. That's witchcraft. That would be mystery religions. In his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Here's the phrase, but he shall be broken without hand. He shall be broken. And God is giving a sign, a significant sign about the breaking of the Antichrist's power. Now, this prince that uses craft, it's any kind of invocation of occult powers that were operative in Egypt, Mystery Babylon, and other forms of occultic operatives that we are familiar with today. Now, but this is going to be broken without hands. And this is a reference also in Daniel 9 when the statue was raised up. And then the rock, there was this rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands. And it crushed the foot. Okay. It crushed the foot of this statue. And became a huge mountain that filled the whole earth. So this mountain, this rock, prefigures the kingdom, the King Jesus, and his function. Now this is a sign. Shiraz is at the center administrative gate of the nations. There, this one world, old world, new world, mystery religion order is going to be dealt with in my flooding. Let's look at without hands. His power is going to be broken. So let's go ahead and look at Isaiah. Here. There are floodings all over the earth now, which would bear this up. Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says the Lord, from hereafter and forever. All right, this is the promise of the Lord God Almighty. And it says this again also in Daniel 9:26. It implies this, that at the end of days, the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. I'm not going to go into all of this scripture, but what I do want to say is that in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah also be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. So floods are destruction. To the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desert. So Yeshua, the Messiah, also references this. It's, well, when are all these going to happen, Jesus, Matthew 24 and 25. Well, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, which is the occult powers, it's the mystery religions, it's the Babylonian mystery religion, Babylon the Great. Let's have a look here. Oh, let me say it back in Daniel 2. I like how this is woven together. In Revelation, and this is the Aramaic, English New Testament, This is referenced also in Revelation 12. So now we're looking at the powers of the occult and how they operate. The serpent. Any kind of serpent-worshipping religions. Egypt, they all wear serpents. The dragon, the Chinese. Yazidi Kurds. They worship serpents. All right, Revelation 12:15. And the serpent spewed from his mouth waters like a river after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and drank up the flood which the serpent ejected from his mouth. And the dragon was enraged against the woman. And he went to make war upon the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of Elohim and have the written and have the testimony of Yeshua. That would be the Ten Commandments and the testimony of Yeshua. Let's read this in Daniel 2. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it a strength of iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with the miry clay. And I had a vision impression of this when I was walking through the streets of Jerusalem. It was clay and iron, it was all mixed. It was broken. It wasn't in unity. It was partly strong and partly broken. And where she saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. This alludes to the serpent seed, those who fall after the dragon and those who keep the testimony of Yeshua and the Ten Commandments. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. But it shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, silver, and gold, the great God made known to the king, which shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. And then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, fell down and worshipped Daniel. So what does the Lord say to us in all of this? Therefore lift up the standard and raise up the banner for the return of the king, even on the mountains and the high places and over the earth. Let all those who seek his righteousness remember the hole of the pit from which you were dug and look to the rock from which you were hewn. This is Isaiah 51:5. This is our job. He does the work. We just lift up the standard of his righteousness. And let's look at Isaiah 61:11. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown into spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And Isaiah 62:1-2, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name, and you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bosra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are you red in your apparel and your garments like him that treads in the wine fat? I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my remnant. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and I will make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Isaiah 63, 1 through 6. Well, bless you. I pray you blessed by this. Keep looking up. When you see all these things coming to pass, Jesus said, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Look up.